This is Arts Underground on 89.3 Huntsville Public Radio. It is another Funny You Should Ask, and today we have a hilarious comedian with a heart of gold, Miss Kimberly Wilson. Hello, aww. Kimberly.
Hi.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. It's good to see you again.
Well, likewise, and thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. And you are the co-founder of Shenanigans Comedy Theater. So we're going to start with your comedy roots. I want to hear about how you got involved in comedy, what your first gig went like.
I got involved in comedy in middle school because I realized that I was shy and life was kind of passing me by. So I figured out that if you can make people laugh, they like you. Mm-hmm. So that's the roots of the roots of the roots. And then I didn't really do anything with that until I was living in Austin and I started doing improv there. Mm-hmm. I studied with Comedy Sports Austin and also the Institution Theater with a gentleman named Tom Booker. And I was one of the co-founders of a queer improv group called the $3 Bills.
Nice.
Yeah. And at the time, I kind of toyed with stand-up, but I didn't really do much with it. And just kind of pushed that back, did improv, and then after that, started really concentrating on school and career because I went for my master's. And then life happened, and I ended up back in Alabama. I grew up here, but I came back because my parents were getting older and I felt like I needed to be here. Also, they needed to have time with their grandkids. So when I came back here, I just kind of threw myself into work and such until my mom passed away in 2018.
I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. It was really hard. It's still hard every day. She was my best friend. And
right.
So I was really struggling, and I guess I was sort of looking for a diversion. And Stand Up Live was offering a stand-up class. And I was like, you know what? That's always been kind of something nagging at me, like unfinished business. So I decided I was going to take that class so that I could either figure out that I really wasn't good at it, or if I was, decide to see what I could do with that. And so that was kind of my foot in the door there. I guess I did okay. And and just kind of haven't looked back since then. Just kept kind of pursuing it.
Right.
That was 3 years ago.
So your first one here in Huntsville was Stand Up Live.
Right.
Okay. How did that go?
Like every comic, I look back now and I'm like, oh, that was terrible.
Oh, no.
But for a beginner, for where I was at the time, I did well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you make me laugh really, really hard when I get to see you on stage, so I'm not surprised.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course. So your involvement in the Huntsville comedy community, how have you seen that change over the years from your perspective?
When I first got involved with the Huntsville scene, predominantly through the class, because the class was taught by basically the founders of Huntsville comedy, in my opinion, Scott Eason, Jonathan Craig, Brandon Imes, and Tom Hand, mm-hmm. were all, you know, part of that first class that I took. And just super guys who have always been very helpful, very supportive, very encouraging. So that was kind of my first taste of what Huntsville had going on. And I started to then go see local shows, go to more Stand Up Live shows, things like that. At the time, my wife and I had a venue in Somerville called the Somerville Playhouse. It was similar to what Shenanigans is, except for kind of like Shenanigans Light.
And we'll get to Shenanigans later on. Yes, of course.
Yeah, because it was, you know, Morgan County, and it's dry and not a very diverse group of people, some of which blatantly chose not to support us because of, you know, our identity. But then once I saw kind of what Huntsville had going on, I started wanting to become as much a producer as an actual comic. And I was trying to produce a variety of different types of shows. And there weren't very many opportunities available for producers to put on shows that weren't either super expensive or weren't risking your own money up front. So I kind of saw that there was a need there, and I was tired of being in Somerville, and we had a lot of I guess, equipment and equity built into that business that I saw would be transferable to Huntsville. And my wife, she was very hesitant at first because she was very attached to a lot of the people in Somerville.
Right.
And I understood that. But she got on board with us to come to Huntsville. And I think, you know, overall, she's glad that we did it. She still misses some of the people out there, though.
So you are a school teacher by day.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that a little bit, if that's okay.
Sure.
Can you talk about if there's any crossover between teaching, you know, school children and comedy, if you are able to incorporate that into your daily schedule?
Well, I think they do kind of bleed over and overlap to some degree. However, I'm much more serious as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, a lot of my students, when they find out that I do comedy, are kind of shocked. Although some, okay, so I okay. am as laid back as they allow me to be. Well, if you know teenagers, that doesn't usually end up being very laid back because they don't let you be.
Right,
you know,
right.
they, in order to take care of business, you have to be businesslike.
Yeah.
And sometimes my teaching does carry over into my comedy, mm-hmm. but not a whole lot because I don't want to do anything that would be even the tiniest bit questionable
yeah.
as far as ethics and morals and such. However, I do plan on producing an entire album when I retire.
Right, right.
Called Forget It, I'm Retired.
So, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So would you say your experience in comedy and improv, has that helped you as a teacher in any way in the classroom?
Absolutely. What's also funny is stand-up and improv are often seen as two very different disciplines as far as comedy goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that in Huntsville, we're building a group of people who do both.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that a lot of places. Because of the separation. However, what I've found and what they have found when I talk to them about it is that each helps the other. For example, when you're a stand-up, when you do improv, it helps you be more in the moment, to think on your feet, to be more spontaneous, which is always a good thing. Because people, although I think cognitively, people understand that stand-up comics have a routine that they've memorized and repeat, they like for it to feel as though it's the first time you've ever said it.
Right.
And in order to deliver that type of entertainment, improv really helps with that.
So that's kind of similar to delivering the same lesson to a different set of kids all day.
Exactly. Exactly. And being flexible and thinking on your feet, because you never know what's going to happen
right.
in a school day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a million variables that you have zero control over.
Right.
Yeah, so that spontaneity has always been. And this is my 27th year of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing for me. Like, I feel like teaching has helped me perform because mm-hmm. I'm used to talking in front of people.
Right.
That, you know, that's nothing for me.
Gives you that public speaking. So
yeah.
Cross that off the list. And you're also a parent.
I am.
Yes. Congratulations. Belated. So
yeah, they're three teenagers. So that's real belated. Thanks, Katie.
You're welcome, Kimberly. No.
A decade and a half late, but that's okay.
I think a decade ago I graduated high school, so.
Oh, that's
sorry.
Painful. Ouch.
Sorry.
You sound like my
sorry.
Wife.
No.
She's 15 years younger than me, and she will never let me forget it, ever.
I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Lies.
You are a parent, as we've established.
Yes.
What do they think of your comedy?
They like it. They don't get to hear much of it because it's
yeah.
predominantly
a little raunchy.
Yeah, it's predominantly R-rated.
But you do have the Turnip and Gilletta show as
yes.
well.
And you know, they get to see me be goofy, and mm-hmm. and they have seen tastes of it
mm-hmm.
different places. But they like the fact that I do it. And as a matter of fact, when I told my youngest son, I picked him up from school today, and he's like, "What are you doing tonight?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to interview for a radio show." He's like, "Wow, I'm proud of you."
Oh.
It was so cute.
That was so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, we're happy to have you here. And Okay, let's talk about Shenanigans.
Okay.
So you co-founded that with Jesse, right? Jesse Pollard?
Jesse Pollard and Jessica.
And Jessica.
Yeah, the three of us are co-owners.
Right.
And the biggest thing, you know, I already talked about the desire to move to a different area to be able to do more of what I really wanted to do. And I felt like being in an area where we could sell alcohol would be beneficial to, you know, the type of environment that you would usually find in a comedy show of any kind.
And Huntsville is pretty diverse, as you mentioned before.
Oh, you wanted to
improve that as well.
Yeah. And, but our, one of the things that we kind of messed up on, if you will, or didn't realize at the time when we were in Somerville, is we did all of that as an LLC and, you know, just kind of bootstrapped it. But we always had a heart to be more like a nonprofit than a for-profit business. And I don't know how much you know about small business, but it's not impossible, but it's almost impossible once you have established a for-profit business to like shift that and change it into a nonprofit is very difficult. So when we started to think about Shenanigans, we knew right off the bat that we wanted it to be a nonprofit because we were looking to fill that need that I referred to earlier, to give performers and producers a place to be able to create and to grow and to have access. And like our mission statement is that we want to make the arts accessible to everyone, but especially comedy.
Right.
So that's why we keep ticket prices low. We keep concession prices as low as we can to keep the doors open. And so at this moment, nobody's paid. You know, we hope to be able to build that in to some degree in the future so that
maybe you get a grant or something.
I mean, I'm always trying for grants in my spare time, quote unquote, air quotes for the radio. That's nice.
I can confirm she just did air quotes.
But yeah, we would like to, you know, be able to have a little gas money, you know, but as it is right now, we're in, you know, we're about to go into year three. And at this point, you know, we're all doing it for the love of the art.
Yeah.
And, we are making good on our mission because we really try to work with local producers. If they have an idea, they'll bring it to us and they're like, hey, this is a show idea. And I'm like, I love it. Do you want to produce it? Do you want me to produce it? You know, do you want us to work together? And, you know, we work on essentially doing things like door splits with them so that they're not risking their own money and giving them opportunities that they don't find anywhere else.
Right,
so that really is something we love. But we also, Jessica has established what she calls the Weird Kids Club.
Okay.
And that's because our kids that we referred to earlier are very weird. We say that weird is our favorite compliment. And essentially, we have, in our own family, we have varying degrees of kids with, you know, neurodivergent issues, ADD, ADHD, you know, this, that, and the other. And just don't fit into the classic, you know, mold.
Right.
And we wanted them to be able to meet other people like them. And if you know anything about awkwardness and introverts, it's not easy to meet others like yourself. So Jessica's like, well, I'm going to start a club. And she did. And it is going gangbusters and love it. And they, the kids that are going there are finding kindred spirits. And it's a really cool thing.
That's awesome.
And that's 100% free. She just does like a meetup once a month. And they do different things around, but once a month she'll have them come to Shenanigans and she'll like put a movie on in a theater and have tables set out for crafts or drawing or, you know, Magic the Gathering or D&D or whatever else and just let them all hang out together.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, how did you and Jessica meet Jesse?
Well, I met Jesse when I was starting out in stand-up because we would do these kind of workshops where you would try out jokes and get feedback from them. And he started coming to some of those.
Okay.
And that's how we first met. And then we were both frequenting the now defunct open mic at Wish You Were Beer.
Right, right.
And he ended up hosting that, and that's when, that was right around the time that we decided that we would do this. And he had had some experience in starting nonprofits before.
Oh, okay.
And so that
I didn't
was,
know that.
Yeah, I forget exactly what it was. I remember something about you know, getting prom dresses for people.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what he did, but he had gone through the process prior, so mm-hmm. he had some knowledge and some connections that helped us to get that going.
Yeah, and you've also brought a few other key people on board. Can you talk about them for a bit with Shenanigans?
Yeah, well, we have board members Alana Henley and Jason Sims, and it's weird because, like, our board is, they started out all here, and now they're going places, so
okay.
We may have some board positions open. Anyway, we just kind of have really tried, as is our nature, to build a family
yeah.
at Shenanigans. So we work with volunteers. Thank you. We love you. We work with volunteers all the time because we can't pay anybody.
Right.
But we have to have people run concessions and run the door and all that kind of stuff. And so those folks are like family because they step up and step in and help out. And, mm-hmm. you know, essentially it's a bunch of people that believe in it like we do. You know, they see the good in it. They see the mission. They believe in the mission. They've personally benefited from our being there. And so they're on board with us, too.
So let's talk about COVID, everybody's favorite subject. Yeah, I know.
We
have to do it. Have to talk about it. I'm sorry, Kimberly. So when COVID hit last year, that took a toll on all kinds of businesses, all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And for Shenanigans, you guys adapted pretty well, it seemed, bringing everything outdoors, having those, you know, where you have to honk your horn if you're laughing. Can you talk about how you adapted?
Well, we tried. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
And it's funny because this ended up being a huge thing that Bert Kreischer gets credit for, but I'm pretty sure he must be stalking my Facebook because we, to my knowledge, were the first that I had ever heard of that did drive-in comedy shows.
Okay.
And we did it off the back loading dock at Shenanigans, and mm-hmm. people would back their cars into our back parking lot. We had an FM transmitter that went in through their car radio, and we actually asked them not to honk their horns where we were.
Oh, flashing the lights.
That's
sorry.
Right. Yeah,
that was my
because
fault.
Because we butt up against the drive-through at Wendy's, and we didn't think we'd be very good neighbors if they were trying to order
like
their four for
fry.
Four.
Yeah.
I want to get a junior back.
Honk,
that must have been real funny. But anyway, so yeah, we had people flashing their lights as
right.
feedback. And for what it was fun. And we also, for a little while, did drive-through jokes.
Talk about that, please.
Well, that was our, like, outreach. We wanted to try to bring people some laughter for nothing. And so Jessica and I just wrote down a whole bunch of really dumb G-rated dad jokes on index cards and stood out in the back parking lot and had people just drive through, and using that same FM transmitter, we would just tell them and their kids really stupid jokes just mm-hmm. so they would laugh mm-hmm. because everybody was terrified. It was at the very beginning of the pandemic.
Well, that's something everybody needs is a good laugh
yeah,
during something
exactly.
so scary like that. And
yeah.
I think that's brilliant. I think it's perfect.
But then, you know, we got shut down and we couldn't do any of those things mm-hmm. for a while.
Yeah, how did that evolve to this year?
Well, we just kind of went along with what the governor said we could do.
Mm-hmm.
So, we were in the last class of people that was allowed to open our doors again.
Okay.
Which of course, you know, put us in debt. We do have still. An EIDL loan,
mm-hmm.
and but that allowed us to keep our doors open. We've since gotten some grants that we're very grateful for that have continued to help us keep our doors open, though, you know, it still feels like never secure enough,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense, because we're still very uncertain as to what COVID's going to
right.
do. as soon as the governor said that we could seat at 50% capacity, that's exactly what we did. Mm-hmm. And even when the mask mandate lifted and a lot of other businesses just threw the doors wide open in April, because that was the very beginning of vaccinations, mm-hmm. we chose to try to find, we didn't want to fight people over right. masks, you know? Like, we see the benefit of it, and we were glad to support it when it was mandatory, mm-hmm. but we just didn't want to spend our time or energy in a negative way, mm-hmm. you know? So what we decided we were going to do, and we did, is when the mask mandate was lifted, we just kept seating still at 50% capacity so that people had the opportunity to social distance.
Right.
Then we increased our seating capacity slowly as more and more people had the opportunity to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So each month we would go up. So we went from 50% to 75% and then finally to 100%.
Right, right.
Yeah.
We've already established you're a school teacher, so I want to talk about these improv classes that you have going on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Can you compare teaching school children to teaching a class of people who are aspiring comedians?
Yes, and just to throw this in the mix, because okay. it is relevant. For 7 years, after I got my master's degree at the University of Texas, I was in Austin. And for 7 years was an assistant principal at a huge high school. And I really enjoyed that work. When I came back to Alabama, I couldn't find administrative work. So I went back into the classroom to teach, which is fine. I still love it as well. But what I can tell you about teachers are the worst students ever.
Mm.
When I was an assistant principal, I was in charge of professional development mm-hmm. and presenting to these grown-ups. There's air quotes again. and the teachers who were the hardest on the kids about things like cell phones, talking, etc., behave in that exact same way when they're the students in the scenario. Mm-hmm. And it was extremely frustrating being a teacher to those adults. In improv class, it's fun mm-hmm. because that's the whole purpose of improv is to
play
help
games
people.
With each other.
Yeah, and yeah. to help people get out of their heads and become more comfortable and just be mm-hmm. silly and goofy and be childlike again.
Yeah,
and that's fantastic. And we are having our first graduation show for mm-hmm. this one that just ended Thursday.
Oh, cool.
And we're starting a new level one improv class on August 29th. It's 6 2-hour classes on Sundays starting on August 29th. We skip Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And so then the five after that. And it's $180, and it's a ton of fun, and we will have a culminating graduation show, so you can invite your people to come see what you've learned and, you know, make people you know and like laugh mm-hmm. and just have a good time.
Or sort of like.
Yeah, maybe.
The more the merrier, you know?
That's it.
So before I ask you the questions that I ask every comedian who comes in here for this segment, I want you to talk about what your favorite thing about running Shenanigans is and your favorite thing about being a comedian.
My favorite thing about running Shenanigans is figuring out what people like and watching my ideas grow. Mm-hmm. I've had a number of show ideas that when produced have turned out really well, and I love that. Mm-hmm. I love when something I've dreamed up or created brings joy to people. And my favorite thing about being a comic is having the ability to get people away from their daily troubles just to laugh for a minute.
Yeah.
Especially in times like this when people really need to...
These unprecedented times.
Oh, that phrase. But just to let them forget about their real life for a minute
yeah.
and just feel decent, you know?
So the first of the last few questions here, do you have any hidden talents to share, to talk of?
Well, I can play the nose flute.
What? This is a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that I don't have one. But yes, I can play the nose flute.
Maybe somebody can bring you one at Shenanigans. Hopefully not used.
Yeah, but, no. Oh, God. I shall not use nose flute. I can juggle.
Okay.
Not well, but I can.
And, better than me.
Well, I had a TikTok thing called Juggling Weird Stuff Badly for a while. And I can play the drums. I was a percussionist in the band. I have decent rhythm for an old white lady.
You're not old. So what is your favorite corny joke?
A duck walks into a bar. And he goes up to the bartender. He says, "Hey, you got any grapes?" And the bartender says, "No. Plus, we don't serve ducks in here. Get out of here." Duck gets all offended. He's like, "Well, fine." So he leaves. Next day, he comes back in. He's like, "Hey, you got any grapes?" Mm-hmm. Bartender's like, "No. I already told you no. We still don't have grapes. We're not going to have grapes. Get out of here. Don't come back." "Fine. Whatever." So the duck leaves. And duck comes back. He's like, "Hey, you got any grapes?" Bartender says, "Look, I've already told you no multiple times. If you come back in here again, I'm going to staple your feet to the floor." The duck's like, "Whoa, mm-hmm. Okay, fine, whatever." So he leaves. Next day, duck comes back in the bar and he goes, "Hey, you got any staples?" Bartender says, "No." "Great, you got any grapes?"
I love that one.
So you said corny, there it is.
No, that was great. Oh, man.
That's dedicated to my wife.
Kimberly, what are some comedians we should be watching right now? That could be local or otherwise.
Locally, we have so much talent in this area. Scott Eason continues to, you know, build his resume. Carl Paul, in my opinion, is one of the funniest and least recognized funny people. Like, I think everybody needs to put an eye on Carl. Ty Funny is blowing up. I mean, there's tons. Brent Reed, Bryce Fletcher, who's been in hibernation. Bryce, if you hear this, keep coming out. But he is also very talented. Josh Beard is doing great things. Raina Cahill is doing great things. I mean, it's all over the place.
Right.
Yeah. As far as otherwise, some of my favorites, I love Tom Segura and Ali Wong, Fortune Feimster, Kathleen Madigan.
To close out, I want to hear what's coming up for you for Shenanigans that you'd like to talk about.
One of what has been a breakout phenomenon for us, we're having the second edition of on the 27th of this month, I believe.
You can check it out on the Facebook page for Shenanigans.
Yes, but it's called Huntsville Uncensored Live Volume 2. Now, clearly, we've had one of these before, and what it is that Bob Boyer and Jackie Reeves of Huntsville Ghost Walk fame and their Pedal Tavern tour, Huntsville Uncensored, they come and they tell stories, and after each story, a mixture of improvisers, predominantly Rocket City Improv, but also they have some other people that work with them, get up and improvise 5 minutes worth of scenes based on the story they just heard. And the first show we did was almost sold out and with very little pomp and circumstance. So get your tickets now, huntsvillelaughs.com. But the format is amazing because Jackie and Bob are great storytellers, but then the improv portion of it was some of the funniest comedy period I've seen in a really long time, especially live and local. So that's great. That's coming up. We also just did our first sketch show, and we were super proud of that, and that went off really well. So we have started the process. We're going to do those quarterly because they take a ton of work.
Oh, yeah.
But I believe the next one of those is like November 5th and the 13th. We're doing it on a Friday and then the next Saturday.
Okay.
So that's really exciting. We have some cool events coming up for the second version of Pride Month, because for those of you that don't know, Rocket City Pride does some events in June, but they also do some events in October when it's cooler. And so we have this huge comedy show that we are producing for Pride on October 1st. That's Friday, October 1st. And I have comics flying in from, I think, Michigan and Arkansas. Comics coming from Atlanta and Birmingham. It's going to be amazing. And then for me personally, one thing I'm super excited about is I'm getting to go back to Austin to do a stand-up show.
Nice.
On my fall break when I'm off work.
That sounds like a really great fall break to me. I mean,
For real.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here, Kimberly. I appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Katie. Appreciate it.
Yes. And you've been listening to Funny You Should Ask here on Arts Underground with Kimberly Wilson, local comedian and co-founder of Shenanigans Comedy Theater.